continue to reflect on the truths of Christmas. Please have that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 open before you, and we'll do a little bit of moving around in the Bible as well as we work our way through. We all love rags to riches stories, don't we? Those stories of those people who just come from that out-of-the-way place, who had nothing to their name, who no one would expect would amount to anything at all. No one gave them the chance, and yet they make it. They make a success of things. They did good. And look at them now. If you're into sport, it's kind of fitting because it's Boxing Day test starting today. Nathan Lyon, the Australian test cricketer, his story is a little bit like that. He was born in the country town of Young. He worked as a groundsman on the ovals that the top guys played on, like Marnica Oval in Canberra and Adelaide Oval. But now he's earned the nickname GOAT, greatest of all time, because he's become the most successful off-spinner that Australia has ever produced. Arnold Schwarzenegger grew up in a post-World War II home in Austria. His family home had no plumbing and no phone. There were food shortages and riots occurring regularly outside their front door. Yet he went on to become one of the richest action movie stars of all time, with a net worth of $400 million. And he became the governor of California as well. J.K. Rowling was a single mother struggling to pay her rent before her Harry Potter books went global. I presume she doesn't struggle to pay the rent anymore. Her estimated worth is $60 million. Oprah Winfrey's story is a famous one. She was born into a poor Mississippi family. She endured a traumatic upbringing in various ways. She ran away from home when she was 13, gave birth at 14, and sadly the child died shortly after. But after such a humble and distressing childhood and teenage years, she went on to host The Oprah Winfrey Show, which aired for 25 seasons and where she interviewed the who's who of society. It led to her now having a net worth of $2.6 billion. We love those stories, the rags to riches stories. There's something about them that captures our imagination and we kind of think, oh, what would it be like if that was to happen to us? Well, this morning as we finish our Christmas Cards from Paul series, we're going to hear of the very best rags to riches story. If you're a Christian, it's actually your story. If you're not a Christian, it could be your story. Jesus is coming, the Christmas story and the events of Jesus' life, they make us rich beyond our wildest imagination. But the way it happens is so strange. It's by Jesus, though rich himself, becoming poor so that we might become rich. It's riches to rags for him so that it might be rags to riches for us. That's a very simple way we're going to look at this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. Rich, poor, rich. So let's pray as we come to look at God's word together. Please join me as we talk to God. Dear Lord, we thank you for the many different ways in which you communicate to us the truths of Jesus and the significance of his birth, as well as his life, death, rising and return. Please help each one of us to see the wonder and meaning of Christmas as we reflect together on this verse this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me read our verse for us today. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. This is amazing verse. It comes in the midst of what is actually quite a long argument that Paul makes, urging the Corinthian Christians to honour God with their resources, their money. It starts at the beginning of chapter 8 and it runs all the way through to the end of chapter 9. At the beginning of the chapter, he gives them the example of the Macedonian believers, chapter 8, verse 2. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So also Paul's desire for the Corinthians, verse 7, is that they too might excel in this grace of giving. Seeing God's work in and through other people can be a powerful motivator, can't it, to the way that we live our lives. And then in our verse, Paul gives an even greater example, the example, the model of Jesus himself. He tells the Corinthians that they know about the grace of the Lord Jesus. They've experienced it for themselves. He's not telling them anything that they don't know, but he's reminding them of it so that they can be impacted in the way that they live and particularly the way that they give. Like the Corinthians, you might already know this grace for yourself. If you're a Christian, then you will. There might be others of us who don't know about this grace personally as yet. So you'll be able to find out more about it by seeing and hearing what Paul says. As he usually does, Paul is using the grace of God as the basis, as the grounds for how Christians are to live their lives. See, grasping grace leads to changed lives. And this is how Paul describes this grace here. For today's talk, we're not looking at this verse in terms of how it encourages us in our giving, which is the way it's used originally, as I said. We're just using it to see what it tells us about Jesus as we reflect on the truths of Christmas in our Christmas Cards from Paul series. So when it comes to this grace, Paul starts by telling us that Jesus was rich. He was rich. Look at our verse again, chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. It begs the question, doesn't it? In what way was Jesus rich? I'm just going to give you 20 seconds just to think about that for yourself. In what way would you say Jesus was rich? Just reflect for a little while for yourself. In what way would you say Jesus was rich? Paul's words here are pointing back to a time before the events of Christmas, before Bethlehem, before the stable and the feeding trough, before the angels and the shepherds, before the wise men and the star. Perhaps the best way to answer our question about in what way Jesus was rich is to look at some other parts of the Bible together. So as we think about the question, in what way was Jesus rich, come with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. This was actually, if you were here, the first of our Christmas cards from Paul that we had a few weeks back. So Colossians chapter 1. Just going to pick out a couple of verses here as it communicates to us the way in which Jesus was rich. So Colossians chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 15. Paul writes, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's this breathtaking picture of who Jesus is, isn't it? When we look at Jesus, the invisible God is made visible. He's also the firstborn, that is, the rightful heir over all creation. He's the heir because he's the agent through whom creation came into being. Whatever powers and rulers and authorities might exist, he was the one by whom they were created and for whom they were created. And he didn't just create and let things go. It's in him that all things hold together. So he is the creator and he's also the sustainer. Abraham Kuyper, the Dutch prime minister and theologian, said this at the dedication of the Free University in Amsterdam in the late 1800s. He said, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. That helps us to see, doesn't it, what Paul means when he says, though he was rich. Another passage that helps us, and we could have used this in our Christmas cards from Paul series as well, is Philippians chapter 2. So turn there with me, and I'll just read a couple of phrases. Just back one book. And we'll actually come back to this passage a little bit later on. You might like to just keep your finger in there. Now have a listen to how Paul talks about Jesus here in Philippians chapter 2. I'll just read a couple of phrases. Verse 6, he says, who being in very nature God, and then also just below that, equality with God. See, that is also how Jesus was rich, very nature God, equal with God. I don't know how you measure richness. Forbes put out their list every year. For 2021, apparently, Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, sits at the top, $177 billion. Then Elon Musk, $151 billion, and so it goes. But when it comes to what we're told here about Jesus, we're talking about something else altogether, aren't we? Their richness is nothing more than a drop in the ocean compared to who Jesus is, to all that belongs to him. See, the Bible presents Jesus as being nothing less than God himself, the one who brought everything into being, the one to whom everything belongs. Though he was rich. But as we head back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, have a listen to what Paul says next in our verse. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. See, it's stunning, isn't it? He says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. As we did before, let me give you just a few moments to have a little reflection, a little bit of a think on your own. How did Jesus become poor, do you think? I'll give you 20 seconds again. How is it that Jesus became poor? As I said at the beginning, we love rags to riches stories, but riches to rags stories, don't really hear about them too often, and we don't really like them much either, do we? Judy Garland of Wizard of Oz fame apparently was in denial of her financial situation all the way through to the end of her life. In her will, she made these various generous bequests, but wasn't able to fulfill any of them because of her mounting debts, which were reportedly in the millions of dollars. Thomas Jefferson, one of America's founding fathers, lived well beyond his means through his life, spending lavishly on various engineering projects and having bottles of wine shipped over from Europe. By the time he died, he owed the equivalent today of $2 million, founding father. Michael Jackson, the king of pop, was also dubbed the king of debt. He's said to have spent $20 to $30 million more than he earned each year, and he earned a lot. By the time of his death, his personal debts were between $400 and $500 million. All these people, they went from riches to rags, but that was because they perhaps never learned to live within their means, maybe lacking self-control or making some poor personal decisions along the way. Jesus, in going from riches to rags, though he was rich, yet he became poor. It wasn't because he couldn't learn to live within his means. He didn't lack any self-control. This wasn't the result of a poor life decision. It was a costly life decision, no doubt, but it was very deliberate. It was something he did voluntarily. He became poor. And it was sacrificial, wasn't it? It was for the good of others. It was for your sakes. So how did Jesus become poor? Well, I think we can think about it in terms of the incarnation, can't we? The very thing that we're celebrating at Christmas. God himself coming as a baby. It's crazy, isn't it? Born to a young mother, his father a carpenter. There was no room for them in the inn, Luke chapter 2 tells us. He was poor at his birth. He became poor just by being born. We just sung about it, haven't we? He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. With the poor and meek and lowly lived on earth our Saviour whole. Jesus was also poor in a sense throughout his life. Dr. Leighton Ford says, Jesus was born in a borrowed manger, preached from a borrowed boat, entered Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey, ate the Last Supper in a borrowed room, and was buried in a borrowed tomb. He didn't live the lifestyle of the rich and famous. This was no rock star's life. Speaking about himself, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. It's amazing, isn't it? Animals have their burrows that they can shelter in during the wet and the cold. Birds have their nests that they can come back to at night. Jesus, this one who is rich beyond measure, has no place to lay his head. Most strikingly, of course, Jesus became poor at his death, the poorest of poor. He endures the physical agony of crucifixion. He undergoes the even greater and incomprehensible experience of the Father turning his face away. My God, why have you forsaken me? Taking the wrath and the judgment of God upon himself. Perhaps the best description of Jesus becoming poor is in the passage we looked at just before in Philippians chapter 2. So turn back there with me and listen to what Paul says. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 6. Talking about Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus became poor in becoming human, and particularly in his death, very nature God, very nature servant. Philip Hughes, a Bible commentator, puts it this way. He says, from highest heaven, he descended to Calvary and the grave. None was richer than he. None became poorer than he. Notice again, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, that this was for your sakes. Jesus became poor for us. It was with a purpose. See how our verse ends, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9? So that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Rich, poor, rich. Let me give you a little bit of time again to think about this and reflect on your own. In what way have we become rich through Jesus' poverty? I'll give you 20 seconds again. In what way have we become rich through Jesus' poverty? One of the rags to riches stories that I really like is Ed Sheeran, the singer-songwriter. Having dropped out of school, he often spent nights sleeping in the London Underground train stations, the subway, or on top of heating vents. And he recalls one time there was an arch outside Buckingham Palace that had a heating duct, and I spent a couple of nights there. Imagine then if on one of those nights that Ed slept on this heating duct outside Buckingham Palace, that the Queen or maybe Prince Harry or Prince William saw his plight and knew of his situation and decided to come and experience what it was like, gave up their comfort and luxury and went through what he did. Extend the illustration even more. What if their coming out was for the express purpose that Ed might experience what they experienced? What if they swapped places with him so that he could sleep in the comfort of their bed, experience the luxury of life within the walls of Buckingham Palace while they slept on top of the heating duct? That would just be unbelievable, wouldn't it? Paul tells us in our verse that Jesus became poor so that you through his poverty might become rich. He's not talking about us becoming materially rich, though I know there are some parts of the church that still teach that today, sadly. No, that's heading in a wrong direction. Christians, those who place their trust in Jesus, those who are in Christ, are rich spiritually in a way that we even struggle to grasp, I think. In a way that's far, far better than being materially rich. Let me show you what I mean. This is the last turn in your Bibles. We're moving around a bit, I know, but Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Come and see what Paul means when he talks about Jesus making us rich. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Just take a moment to let that start to sink in a little bit. If you are a Christian, if you have turned and placed your trust, your hope in the Lord Jesus, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. What are some of these blessings? Well, Paul goes on, doesn't he? Verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. And so he goes, chosen, holy, blameless, predestined, adopted, redemption, forgiveness, mystery revealed. It just comes tumbling out of Paul, doesn't it? Every spiritual blessing. Nothing has been withheld. There's no fear of missing out here. All lavished on us because of his love, from his pleasure, according to the riches of his grace. That is what Paul means when he says that we have become rich, rich beyond our wildest imagination. It's an incredible story, isn't it? There's no other rags to riches story like it. There's no other story like it. It's the Christmas story. Is it your story? Paul's Christmas card to us today has been all about God's grace, God's gift. It's in the context of encouraging people in their giving. But for this morning, let's just marvel and revel in it. In terms of this Christmas message, may we look to Jesus and see this one who was rich be astonished again that for our sakes he would become poor, and receive him and accept him and experience the richness that comes through relationship with him. Before we sing our last carol, I'll give you just a few moments just to reflect on those truths for yourself again. Rich, poor, rich.